Hallelujah. He is risen. Joy comes to us in many currencies, and today may the children lead us as they celebrate and lead us in the proclamation of that Easter life, Jesus' life, which is unfolding in the world, which continues to burst into our world through the shouts of Alleluia. Amen. Amen. The text today is this gospel reading, and we just heard it read, so I won't reread the entire thing, but it's particularly verse 5, towards the end, where the angels ask the women in the tomb this question: why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? This is our text today. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, multiplied through our risen Savior Jesus Christ, who continues to unfold his life into the arms of the world, which desperately needs to come alive again. Dear friends, let the windows be thrown open. Let the singers sing their loudest songs. Let the hearts of all people be overflowing with joy, for Jesus, who was dead, is alive again, and his many splendored life continues to fill the world with glory. Alleluia. Amen. You're getting it. I'm glad. Glad to have your help. This is going to be a chorus of preaching today, of celebration, and if you don't have a noisemaker and you want one, there are still plenty to go around. For this is the news. This is the news worth celebrating, the news which met the Easter women that first morning in the tomb when they were dismayed that they had not found the body where they had laid it. The same Jesus who rose from the dead still lives, and his life continues to multiply and unfold here in our community, among his people here. Don't miss your opportunity for joy and for celebration today. So we come to this question, the question that the angels asked: why do you seek the living among the dead? Well, from our perspective, generations, millennia later, having celebrated many Easters, we understand the angels' question. Why do you seek the living, that is, Jesus, among the dead, in a tomb, that is? But to those first women, the question must have seemed quite simple, considering all that had happened on the Friday before Easter Sunday. The angel's question must have had some logical answers popping to mind in the minds of the women. Why do you seek the living among the dead? They asked. Well, because he was dead, they might have said in reply, because we saw him die. We carried him here with our own arms. We laid him to rest on these cold stones not 3 full days ago. Why do you seek the living among the dead? The angels asked. Well, because he was dead. This is the logical, the reasonable answer to the angels' question. Yet those who live in a reality based entirely on reason, without any room for the unexpected, for the miraculous, will not accept the angel's proclamation, which comes after. Something had happened that morning which defied logic, which went against reason. Something had happened that morning which was miraculous. The law of death had been broken. And dancing on the grim sadness which has gripped God's people since the very first human beings sinned, Jesus had come back to life. He really had died. They had witnessed it. They had front row seats to the gruesome spectacle of his death on Friday. But then on Sunday morning, he had come back to life. This is the miracle which transformed the women who found the empty tomb that morning. This is the miracle that transformed their friends, the other disciples who were cloistered together in an upper room, fearful of what would happen to them too. This is the miracle which transformed a generation of eyewitnesses who then began to tell the message, in which eventually turned the world upside down. It continues to transform today. The question for you is, will it transform your heart? Each Easter I dig, I scratch a little bit, I groan and agonize sometimes to try to find an angle of freshness where this message of life can come to life among our hearts again today. And this year, it seems to me that the question that the angels asked is really where it's at. Why do you seek the living among the dead? The angels asked the women. And that question had an obvious answer. And a not so obvious contradiction, but what about for us? Why do you seek the living among the dead? We might be asked ourselves today. For it seems to me that this is really what humanity is ultimately up to as we eke out our existence, as we live our lives in this present and dying age. Why do we seek the living among the dead? Well, this is the calling, the task even, of all human beings, to seek the living among the dead and the dying in the world. And we cannot be transformed yet by the message of resurrection life if we have not first acknowledged, embraced our context of death. In other words, dear friends, we are surrounded, inundated by death. We are powerless on our own in the face of its power. And before the good news of Jesus' life and resurrection can be good news in our ears, we must first feel the weight of this death that we cannot escape. For the women, they had a context for which the resurrection of Jesus was, in fact, good news. They had been through Good Friday. They had stood at the foot of the cross. They had witnessed this prolonged and hideous flaunting of death, Roman crucifixion. It was a spectacle meant to cast fear into the enemies of the state. As the victim suffered humiliation and dehumanization, the magnification of death to a ridiculous extreme. But what about us, I wonder? Do we feel the pangs of death in our own lives, in our society? Perhaps in ancient cultures there was less insulation between death and dying and everyday life. For us, sometimes we hold death at a distance, insulated from it by hospitals, by funeral homes, letting the professionals take care of us when we're in our last days and beyond. But what about back then? Did they have perhaps a more hands-on experience? Did they prepare the bodies, for instance, with their own hands in their own homes? Did they bury them with shovels, feeling the weight of the dirt, the stones? Did they carry their departed loved ones after they had died, feeling the weight of their lifeless human bodies? I suggest to you that the context of death is necessary for the celebration of resurrection life. Perhaps the women and the other disciples had a more immediate context than we do. And yet there remains today, there remains for God's people, those who pay attention, this reality, this context of death. But whether we experience that vicariously, maybe through the loved ones that we sit beside in palliative care units or at their bedsides, or maybe as we even experience it personally in our own bodies as we hear the diagnoses, as we cope with things like aging and pain, as we face our own eventual deaths, we too share the context, the backdrop against which resurrection life bursts. I remember a couple of years ago, I had a conversation with a doctor. I had been experiencing some lower back pain, and it was new to me, and it kind of was keeping me from sleeping properly and moving like I like to, and so I went and talked to the doctor, and I remember very vividly as he was telling me about my back and about healthy backs, and he was describing, it was very particular, very precise, he was describing the consistency of the fluid that is inside the discs in a person's spine. And he said, when a newborn baby is born, that fluid is very much like water. It's very liquid, and it flows freely, and the discs are very supple and flexible, he said. And then he said a phrase which caught my attention. He said, at your age, and that's sort of my reaction too. And I came home and I said, Andrea, the doctor said, at your age, and I was still in my 30s, and I was thinking, what do you mean, at my age? He said, well, actually, at your age, that fluid has become like the consistency of Jell-O that's left out on the counter for about a week. And I was trying to picture that. It was a vivid, attention-grabbing reminder that this body, this glorious gift that God has given me, that He has given you, these bodies that we live in this day, in this age, are not going to last forever. They are wearing out. And that, dear friends, is the simple reminder of the context of death. For as the Scriptures say, it's appointed once for all people to die. And I gently suggest to you that if you have not acknowledged that, the reality of your own mortality, then you have not yet been prepared to hear the good news of the resurrection. For we are all slowly dying, and there is no one that can tell you otherwise. But that death need not be the end. It's worth mentioning, just as we continue, as we think about this context of death, that there are more than one reality. There are more than one ways to experience death in our lifetimes. It's not just physical death. It's not just aging, is it? It's not just getting old and suffering from a chronic illness. There are other manifestations of death: depression, mental illness, and fatigue. Even can at times be like death. Even the physically healthiest people can at times despair of life itself, even becoming suicidal, ceasing to have any purpose to live with hope or vitality. There are those for whom death sucks the joy out of life before their time has come. And you know, may know someone like that. You may know someone who has a hard time finding any reason to get up in the morning and to live, has a hard time finding any motivation to pursue their hopes and whatever hopes might be remaining in their lives. If that's you today, then I want to make sure that you hear in no uncertain terms this news that there is hope. There is hope beyond death. Not just the physical death that we all experience, but sometimes the creeping, silent, weary death that takes the joy out of life. The power of Jesus' resurrection is not limited to Himself or even to physical healing, but it reaches into every corner of the human experience. Life can be yours and can be full of joy again. This is the promise of our risen Savior. And therefore, dear friends, as we close this contemplation of the question that the angels asked, why do you seek the living among the dead? I would like to invite you to know and embrace your reality. Why do we seek the living among the dead? This is our plight as human beings, seeking the living Lord among the dead and the dying in our world. For we are all slowly dying, and yet we are also being brought back to life by the power of the risen Christ. And therefore, because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we too will be raised. Alleluia. Thank you. I was hoping you were paying attention. Because our Lord has conquered death itself and we have believed in Him, we will be filled with His life too forever and ever. Alleluia. Because He shook off the shackles. Alleluia. Because He burst death's strong bands. Alleluia. Because He moved in the stillness. Alleluia. Because He claimed authority even over death. Alleluia. Because Jesus resisted every sin. Because Jesus lived with perfect love. Because He willingly surrendered His life. And because He was forsaken by all. Alleluia. Jesus breathed in the darkness. Jesus warmed on the cold stones. Jesus' heart started beating again, and His strength returned. Alleluia. And now Jesus has left the tomb. He has found His friends, and He is here today, revealed in His glory for all to see. Alleluia. Are you here as one who is seeking the living among the dead? Well, then hear this final announcement that Jesus is here today, seeking you among the living. Jesus is here and He is seeking you. He looks for your life to unfold. He looks for it to burst the bonds of death itself. He looks for you among the deadness of this present world, seeking to give you the riches of His grace by His Spirit, which lasts forever. Amen. Alleluia. Thank you for your help in celebrating, in announcing this story to all. May we continue to proclaim it in the streets, in the homes, in the cities that God has given us to live, for His glory. Amen.